Hi, Marty Lurie here on KNBR 6A with George Contos. And, George, I look at the league leaders in games pitched. You're right up there, man. You're on a pace for about 100.
Yeah, I've been getting some work in, but Boach is a guy who sometimes likes to ride a hot hand, and as long as I can keep getting those outs, I'm more than happy to take the ball.
Yeah, how many days can you work in a row? And is it matters stress innings, stress pitches? How many? How do you judge that?
Yeah, I think it definitely. It all depends on kind of how the workload is. Certain times is different than other. I mean, I've gone as many as five in a row, but sometimes two or three in a row, the stress is a little bit more than those five in a row. And the thing that I've been able to do this year is I've been able to get out of some innings with very few pitches, six, seven, eight innings or eight pitch innings. When you can do that, and I've been fortunate enough to do that a few times this year, it allows you to bounce back a little bit quicker, or get out there for an extra inning or something like that. So it's been a pleasant thing that I've been able to go out there and be as efficient as I have been.
Yeah, how do you get out of an inning like that? Really, for a relief pitcher, boy, thank goodness they want to run you out there again, especially in an eighth inning. You say, gee, run them out there again. Who needs a closer? How do you get one of those good innings?
The biggest thing for me is just trying to attack hitters and pitching to my strengths. And, I've been able to go out there and put together some strings of good outings, and the confidence continues to build. And when you go out there and you pitch with confidence and you can attack with all your pitches, not that it gets easier, but you feel like you get into a little bit of a groove. And you can go out there and execute pitches. And as long as you're throwing the ball with some movement in the strike zone and keeping the ball off the barrel of the bat, you usually end up being okay.
Now, you've told me to look for the curveball. You're starting to throw the curveball. I look when you come in. I say, all right, I'm waiting for the curveball. You throw it pretty often now.
Yeah, I started throwing curveball. I was a starter. I always had the curveball in my repertoire, and it's kind of been in the back pocket. But, the way I look at it is if I can steal a quick strike here and there or get something for the hitters to think about as a different look than the traditional pitches that they're used to seeing out of me the last few years, anything that can be in the back of their mind, get them a little bit off balance, is going to help me.
Isn't that funny? I mean, the whole idea of the game is for the pitcher to trick the hitter.
Yeah.
You stand there 60 feet, 6 inches away, you have the ball, all the little tricks you could do, and the guy stands there with the bat. He says, I don't care what he does, it's got to come over this plate. But it doesn't work for the hitter, and the pitcher can really trick him.
Yeah, it's just, you have a lot of success as a pitcher if you can disrupt the hitter's timing. If you get too predictable, or you start throwing too many of the same pitches in a row, guys kind of sit on that. But if you're able to, like I've been very fortunate enough to be able to do this year, is mix up your pitches, throw maybe two or three or even four, in my case now, different looks at hitters. It's just something in the back of their mind to hit on, to think about, and they can't really sit on one specific pitch. And if they do sit on one pitch, and I throw that specific pitch and they hit it, then you tip your hat to them and they've won that at bat. But when you're going out there and controlling the ball on both sides of the plate with a few different pitches, it's hard for the hitter to do that.
Yeah, George Contos with us. It's not a fluke that you're in that many games. You're getting the job done for Bruce Bochy. I know he has a lot of confidence in you. I get calls all the time. They say, why doesn't he start? He's getting everybody out so easily. Make him a starter. I said, it's not that simple.
Yeah, the good thing is I've been a starter my whole life, all the way until I had Tommy John, and then I was put in the bullpen. But my mentality as a reliever and my mentality as a starter are very similar. I kind of go at guys the same way. I'm an aggressive style pitcher. I kind of challenge hitters. That's kind of how I've always been. So it's definitely not something I'd think about. But if the opportunity to start ever did come about, I would definitely enjoy doing that again.
You'd be ready.
I'd be ready. The thing is as long as you have the pitches and you can command the pitches to both sides of the plate, at that point, I think it's just about building up your arm strength and your innings to be able to endure that much of a pitch count. But, right now I'm in the bullpen and I'm, having the success that I'm having, and I'm very happy and confident going out there to the mound whenever my name is called. So we're going to stick with that for now.
Very good choice right now. Very good choice. All right. Interleague play. I know it comes up all of a sudden out of the blue. How do you get ready for it, for a team that you really haven't seen all year?
To be honest, you get ready for it the same way. We really don't think that, it's interleague play. All it is they're in the American League and we're in the National League. And, here it's the same style of play as we're used to playing every day. The pitcher's going to hit here. And, when we go tomorrow up to Seattle, it's going to be a little bit different. The lineup's a little different. There's going to be a designated hitter. The lineup's a little bit deeper with a designated hitter. So, especially being on a team that we don't see that often, you got to do your homework a little bit more than you will with the guys like Arizona or Colorado or the Dodgers, who we see quite a few times during the year. You're more familiar with those hitters, so you got to do a little bit more homework. But you know, as far as pitching, the game's the same. You know, you still have to execute your pitches, attack the hitters, and don't give them anything over the middle of the plate to hit.
A good choice, not over the middle, because they can hit it. They usually don't miss those.
Yeah, those ones go a long way, especially at this level. These guys don't miss those center cut pitches.
You get your pitch, you got to hit it. That's a story of life. Do you do a lot of video? Let's say for Seattle, do you look at Robinson Cano or Ackley or someone like that?
I do. I look at the lefties that I'm going to face. You know, the righties that I'm going to face, I pitch to my strengths. You know, that's what I do. If a righty is you know, good at hitting breaking balls, I throw breaking balls, you know, and I'm still going to continue to throw them. So it's one of those things where the righties, I kind of go at them with my strengths, and the lefties, I look at what their strengths and what their weaknesses are. And, you know, I'm confident enough in my pitches and being able to locate and challenge guys where, you know, be able to just get a little bit of info on them and go to work with that.
All right, Northwestern man talking. Just a little bit of information. He could deal with it after that.
Yep.
All right, this weekend, Dodgers down in Dodger Stadium. I've been down there many times. Kershaw hit you out a few years ago. I always remember.
Thanks for jogging my memory on that one. I was trying to forget about it.
Right, I remember that. You know, things stick with me after a while. But it's such a something about playing down there. Yep. There really is.
Yeah, you know, with this rivalry and kind of the last few years, how it's gone after they really made the splurge and brought some really good players to L.A., you know, via trade and free agency and all that. But, I mean, whenever we get together with the Dodgers, whether it's here or in L.A., it's a little bit more electric in the atmosphere. And especially when we go down there and play there, you know, they sell out 55, 60,000 people. And there are very, very few memories I have where we go there and, you know, we don't play close games with a lot of energy and a lot of enthusiasm. And, you know, they don't like us when we go there. They get on us and they don't want us to win. But every time we go in there and we can, you know, stifle them down a little bit or walk out with a win, it's a great feeling.
Do they get on you in the bullpen? Are they close enough to get on you?
Oh, yeah, they're close enough. They're all over you. They're behind you. They're in front of you. They're on the side of you. They're everywhere. But, that, you know, it's part of the game. You get that everywhere. It's not even as bad in Dodger Stadium as it is in some other ballparks. Yeah, so it's part of the game, and as long as you can keep your focus and get ready to go, once you get on the game mound, you really don't hear anything anymore. So,
well, you got Javi Lopez down there to keep everybody calm, too. You know, I know that. Exactly. Ever seen any movie stars?
Yeah, actually, in 2012 or 2013, Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher sat right behind our dugout. And I think that game I might have ran in the dugout 2, 3, 4 times just to get a good look at Mila. She's one of my favorites. So, you know, we've seen a few here and there, and you know, all the guys who do the first pitches and the national anthems and stuff. It's fun to see that kind of thing over there.
All right, George, pleasure having you on as always. Thank you. Thanks, George.
Appreciate it.
All right, more coming up on KMBR 680, the Sports Leader.